right now in all 50 states in the District of Columbia.
The following program is rated TV-MALV. It contains strong language and violence. It is intended only for mature audiences.
B52 baby, way up in the sky. Come drop a good loving on me, child. B52 baby, way up in the sky. Welcome to my podcast, comrades. Today we'll be reading the speech from the venerable Vladimir Putin. His address to the, whatever it was, the annexation ceremonies for absorbing many territories into Mother Russia. Anyway, so, today we'll be reading this, I've heard it described as a psychotic ranting, hysterical ranting, conspiracy theory. I immediately thought of the question posed to the former president of the United States of America, that something to the effect that there are conspiracy theories. Oh, and he was confronted about Q. He denied knowing about Q. And then the demon interviewer said something like, there are people that believe that you're trying to wipe out global elitist pedophilic brain of cannibals or some shit like that. You know, his reply was, would that be a bad thing if I was doing that? Would that bother you if that type of, ring existed, a cabal that I was going after covertly? Are you trying to expose me doing that? Are you bothered by me doing that? I mean, I'm not saying that I am doing that, but, well, Rad Vlad is. He's always got full Ricky Gervais Golden Globes or whatever the fuck it was when he put them all on blast about Ronan Farrow after he had exposed Woody Allen. Yeah, hey, I'm back, by the way. I don't know if you heard or not, but I was taken into custody and I've been held in a dank holding cell now for at least, how long has it been since I put out a podcast? Yeah, it's been that long. Of course I'm bullshitting. Okay, enough about all that. Let's get to the speech. I found this interesting. Dear citizens of Russia, citizens of Donetsk and Lugansk People's Republics, residents of Zaporizhia and Kherson regions, deputies of the State Duma and senators of the Russian Federation. As you know, referendums took place in the Donetsk and Lugansk People's Republics, Zaporizhia and, Kherson regions, Their results have been summed up. The results are known. People made their choice, a clear choice. Today, we are signing agreements on the admission of the DPR, the LPR, the Zaporizhia region, and Kherson region to Russia. I am sure that the Federal Assembly will support the constitutional laws on the adoption and formation in Russia of four new regions, four new subjects of the Russian Federation, because this is the will of millions of people. And this, of course, is their right, their inalienable right, which is enshrined in the first article of the UN Charter, which directly speaks of the principle of equal rights and self-determination of peoples. Of peoples. I repeat, this is an inalienable right to people. It is based on historical unity in the name of which the generations of our ancestors won, those who from the regions of ancient Russia for centuries created and defended Russia here in Novorossiya, Rumyantsev, Suvorov, and Ushkov fought Catherine II and Potemkin. Whoa. Should just rebooted on me. Odd. My bad. Potemkin. I guess that would be the Potomies. Wow. Founded new cities. Here our grandfathers and great-grandfathers stood to death during the Great Patriotic War. We will always remember the heroes of the Russian Spring, those who did not come to terms with the neo-Nazi coup d'etat of Ukraine in 2014, all those who died for the right to speak their native language, preserve their culture, traditions, faith, for the right to live. These are the warriors of Donbass, the martyrs of the Odessa Katyn, the victims of inhuman terrorist attacks staged by the Kiev regime. These are volunteers and militias. These are civilians, children, women, old people, Russians, Ukrainians, people of various nationalities. This is the real people's leader of Donetsk, Alexander Zakharchenko. These are military commanders, Arsen Pavlov and Vladimir Zoga, Olga Kachura and Alexei Mozgovye. Mozgovye. This is the prosecutor of the Luhansk Republic, Sergei Gorenko. This is paratrooper Nurmagomed Man, I'm sorry, I can't pronounce that. Nurmagomed GADZHIMAGOMEDOV Gazin Hagromdov, and all of our soldiers and officers who died the death of the brave during a special military operation. They are heroes. Heroes of great Russia, and I ask to honor their memory with a moment of silence. Thank you. Behind the choice of millions of residents in the Donetsk and LPRs in the Zaporizhia and Kherson regions in our common destiny and a thousand-year history, man, I hope he quits fucking repeating the names of those regions, the spiritual connection people passed on to their children and grandchildren despite all the trials they carried through the years, love for Russia, and no one can destroy this feeling in us. That is why both the older generations and the youth, those who were born after the tragedy of the collapse of the Soviet Union, voted for our unity, for our common future in 1991 in Beloskovia Pushka. Without asking the will of ordinary citizens, representatives of the then party elites decided to collapse the USSR, and people suddenly found themselves cut off from their homeland. This tore apart, dismembered our people's community, turned into a national catastrophe. As once after the revolution, the borders of the Union republics were cut behind the scenes. So the last leaders of the Soviet Union, contrary to the direct expression of the will of the majority of the people in the 1991 referendum, ruined our great country, simply confronted the peoples with the fact. I admit that they did not even fully understand what they were doing and what consequences this would inevitably lead to in the end, but that doesn't matter anymore. There is no Soviet Union. The past cannot be returned. Yes, and Russia today does not need it anymore. We are not striving for this, but there is nothing stronger than the determination of millions of people who, by their culture, faith, traditions, language, consider themselves part of Russia, whose ancestors lived in a single state for centuries. There is nothing stronger than the determination of these people to return to their true... Fuck, it did it again. Wow. Something's going on, man. They're out to get me. There is nothing stronger than the determination of these people to return to their historical fatherland. For a long eight years, people in the Donbass were subjected to genocide, shelling, and blockade, and in Kherson and Zaporizhzhia, they tried to criminally cultivate hatred for Russia, for everything Russian. Now, already during the referendums, the Kiev regime threatened with violence, death to school teachers, women who worked in election commissions, intimidated millions of people who came to express their will with repressions. But the unbroken people of Donbass, Zaporizhzhia, fuck, and Kherson had their say. I want the Kiev authorities and the real masters in the West to hear me so that everyone remembers this. People living in Lugansk and Donetsk and Kherson and Zaporizhzhia become our citizens forever. We call on the Kiev regime to immediately cease fire all hostilities, the war that it unleashed back in 2014, and return to the negotiating table. We are ready for this. It has been said more than once, but we will not discuss the choice of the people in all of the aforementioned. It has been made. Russia will not betray it. And today's Kiev authorities should treat this free will of the people with respect and nothing else. This is the only way to peace. Well, we will protect our land with all the forces and means at our disposal, and we will do everything to ensure that the safe life of our people. This is the great liberation mission of our people. We will definitely rebuild destroyed cities and towns, housing, schools, hospitals, theaters, and museums, restore and develop industrial enterprises, factories, infrastructure, social security, pensions, healthcare, and education systems. Of course, we will work to improve the security level. Together, we will make sure that citizens in the new regions feel the support of the entire people of Russia. The entire country, all the republics, all territories and regions of our vast motherland. Applause. Dear friends and colleagues, we'll take a break there. First of all, I want to apologize for mispronouncing names of these cities and regions and people because I'm doing the best I can. I don't mean any disrespect, but It's not easy, man. This isn't my native tongue. And secondly, yeah, I'm experiencing some type of technical difficulties where my shit keeps rebooting. I think it might be my internet. I'm not sure anyway. So let's get back to the article. Dear friends, colleagues, today I want to address the soldiers and officers who are participating in a special military operation. The soldiers of Donbass and Novorossiya, those who, after the decree on partial mobilization, joined the ranks of the armed forces, fulfilling the patriotic duty, who, at the call of their hearts, come to the military registration and enlistment offices. I would like to turn to their parents, wives, and children to tell them what our people are fighting for, what enemy is opposing us, who is throwing the world into new wars and crisis, deriving their bloody profit from this tragedy. Our compatriots, our brothers and sisters in Ukraine, the native part of our united people, saw with their own eyes what the ruling circles of the so-called West are preparing for all mankind. Here they, in fact, just threw off their masks, showed their true insides. After the collapse of the Soviet Union, the West decided that the world, all of us, would forever have to put up with it dictates. Then, in 1991, the West expected that Russia would never recover from such shocks and would fall apart on its own. Yes, it almost happened. We remember the 90s, the terrible 90s, hungry, cold, and hopeless, but Russia resisted, revived, strengthened again, took its rightful place in the world. At the same time, the West has been looking all this time and continues to look for a new chance to hit us, weaken and destroy Russia, which they have always dreamed of, split our state, pit peoples against each other, doom them to poverty and extinction. They are simply haunted by the fact that there is a great, huge country in the world with its territory, natural wealth, resources, with a people who do not know how and will never live according to someone else's orders. The West is ready to step over everything in order to preserve the neo-colonial system that allows it to... Motherfucker. Fuck! This is fucking ridiculous. It's like this motherfucker don't want me to read this article. Hey, nice one. The West is ready to step over everything in order to preserve the neo-colonial system that allows it to parasitize, in fact, to plunder the world at the expense of the power of the dollar and technological dictates, to collect real tribute from humanity, to extract the main source of unearned prosperity, the rent of the hegemon. The maintenance of this rent is their key, genuine, and absolutely self-serving motive. That is why total desovereignization is in their interest. Hence their aggression towards independent states, towards traditional values and original cultures, attempts to undermine international and integration processes beyond their control, new world currencies and centers of technological development. It is critical for them that all countries surrender their sovereignty to the United States. The ruling elites of some states voluntarily agree to do this, voluntarily agree to become vassals. Others are bribed, intimidated, and if it doesn't work, they destroy entire states, leaving behind humanitarian catastrophes, disasters, ruins, millions of ruined, mangled human destinies, terrorist enclaves, social disaster zones, protectorates, colonies, and semi-colonies. They don't care as long as they get their own benefit. I want to emphasize once again, it is precisely in greed and the intention to maintain its unlimited power that there are the real reasons for the hybrid war that the collective West is waging against Russia. They do not wish us freedom, but they want to see us as a colony. They do not want equal cooperation, but robbery. They want to see us not as a free society, but as a crowd of soulless slaves. For them, a direct threat is our thought and philosophy, and therefore they encroach on our philosophers. Our culture and art are a danger to them, so they are trying to ban them. Our development and prosperity is also a threat to them. Competition is growing. They don't need Russia at all. We need it. I want to remind you that the claims to world domination in the past have been shattered more than once by the courage and steadfastness of our people. Russia will always be Russia. We will continue to defend both our values and our motherland. The West is counting on impunity, on getting away with everything. In fact, everything has gotten away with it so far. Agreements in the field of strategic security go to the wastebasket. Agreements reached at the highest political level are declared false. Firm promises not to expand NATO to the East as soon as our former leaders bought into them turned into a dirty deceit. Treaties on anti-missile defense and intermediate and short-range missiles have been unilaterally broken under far-fetched pretexts. All we hear from all sides is that the West stands for order based on rules. Where did they come from? Who even saw these rules? Who agreed? Listen, this is just some kind of nonsense, sheer deception, double or already triple standards. It's just designed by fools. Yes, Russia is a great millennial power, a country civilization, and we will not live by such rigged false rules. It is the so-called West that has trampled on the principle of the inviolability of borders and now at its own discretion decides who has the right to self-determination and who does not and who is not worthy of it. Why they decide so, who gave them such a right, is not clear to themselves. That is why the choice of people in Crimea, in Sevastopol, in Donetsk, Lugansk, Zaporozhye, and Kherson, man, I was saying that okay earlier, causes wild anger in them. This West has no moral right to evaluate it, even to stutter about the freedom of democracy. No, and never was. I don't know, man. Western elites deny not only national sovereignty and international law, their hegemony has a pronounced character of totalitarianism, despotism, and apartheid. They brazenly divide the world into their vassals, into the so-called civilized countries, into all the rest who, according to the plan of today's Western racists, should add to the list of barbarians and savages. False labels, rogue country, authoritarian regime are already ready. They stigmatize entire peoples and states, and there is nothing new in this. The Western elites are what they were and have remained so. Colonialists. They discriminate, divide peoples into the first and other grades. We have never accepted and will never accept such political nationalism and racism. And what, if not racism, is Russophobia, which is now spreading all over the world. What, if not racism, is the peremptory conviction of the West that its civilization, neoliberal culture, is an indisputable model for the whole world. He who is not with us is against us. It even sounds strange. Even the repentance for their own historical crimes is being shifted by the Western elites to everyone else, demanding both the citizens of their countries and other peoples to confess for what they have nothing to do with at all. For example, for the period of colonial conquests, it is worth reminding the West that it began its colonial policy back in the Middle Ages and then followed the global slave trade, the genocide of Indian tribes in America, the plunder of India, Africa, the wars of England and France against China, as a result of which it was forced to open its ports for trade opium. What they did was put entire nations on drugs, purposefully exterminated entire ethnic groups for the sake of land and resources, staged a real hunt for people like animals. This is contrary to the very nature of man, truth, freedom, and justice. These are good points. And we are proud that in the 20th century, it was our country that led the anti-colonial movement, which opened up opportunities for many peoples of the world to develop in order to reduce poverty and inequality, to overcome hunger and disease. I emphasize that one of the reasons for the centuries-old Russophobia, the undisguised malice of these Western elites towards Russia, is precisely that we did not allow ourselves to be robbed during the period of colonial conquests. We forced the Europeans to trade for mutual benefit. This was achieved by creating a strong centralized state in Russia, which developed and strengthened itself on the great moral values of Orthodoxy, Islam, Judaism, and Buddhism, on Russian culture, and the Russian word open to all. It is known that plans for interventions in Russia were repeatedly made. They tried to use the time of troubles at the beginning of the 17th century and the period of upheavals after 1917 failed. The West nevertheless managed to seize the wealth of Russia at the end of the 20th century when the state was destroyed. Then we were called both friends and partners, but in fact they treated us like a colony. Trillions of dollars were siphoned out of the country under a variety of schemes. We all remember everything. We have not forgotten anything. In these days, people in the aforementioned regions have spoken out in favor of restoring our historical unity. Thank you. Applause. Western countries have been repeating for centuries that they bring freedom and democracy to other peoples. Everything is exactly the opposite. Instead of democracy, suppression and exploitation. Instead of freedom, enslavement and violence. The entire unipolar world is inherently anti-democratic. Fuck. It rebooted again. Motherfuckers. Here we go. The entire unipolar world is inherently anti-democratic and not free, is deceitful and hypocritical through and through. The United States is the only country in the world to use nuclear weapons twice, destroying the Japanese cities of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. By the way, they set a precedent. Let me also remind you that the United States, together with the British, turned Dresden, Hamburg, Cologne, and many other German cities into ruins without any military necessity during World War II, and this was done defiantly without any, I repeat, military necessity. There was only one goal, just as in the case of the nuclear bombings in Japan, to intimidate both our country and the whole world. The United States left a terrible mark on the memory of the peoples of Korea and Vietnam with barbaric carpet bombing, the use of napalm and chemical weapons. Until now, they actually occupied Germany, Japan, the Republic of Korea, and other countries, and at the same time cynically call them equal allies. Listen, I wonder what kind of alliance is this? The whole world knows that the leaders of these countries are being watched. The first persons of these states are being installed listening devices, not only in office, but also in residential premises. This is a real shame, a shame both for those who do this and for those who, like a slave, silently and meekly swallow this rudeness. They call orders and rude, insulting shouts at the address of the vassals, Euro-Atlantic solidarity, the development of biological weapons, experiments on living people, including Ukraine, noble medical research. It is with their destructive policy, wars, and robbery that they provoke today's colossal surge in migration flows. Millions of people suffer deprivation, abuse, die by the thousands, trying to get to the same Europa. Now they are exporting bread from Ukraine. Where is he going under the pretext of providing food security for the world's poorest countries? Where is it going? Everything goes to the same European countries. There, 5% only went to the poorest countries in the world. Again, another swindle and outright deception. The American elite, in fact, uses the tragedies of these people to weaken their competitors, to destroy nation states. This also applies to Europe. This also applies to the identity of France, Italia, Spain, and other countries with a long history. Washington is demanding more and more sanctions against Russia, and more European politicians meekly agree with this. They clearly understand that the United States pushing through the EU's complete renunciation of Russian energy carriers and other resources is practically leading to the deindustrialization of Europe. To completely taking over the European market, they understand everything. These elites are European. They understand everything, but prefer to serve the interests of others. There is no longer servility, but a direct betrayal of their peoples. But God bless them. That's their business. But sanctions are not enough for the Anglo-Saxons. They switched to sabotage. Unbelievable, but true. Having organized explosions on the international pipelines of the Nord Stream, which run along the bottom of the Baltic Sea, they actually began to destroy the pan-European energy infrastructure. It is clear to everyone who benefits from this. Who benefits? He did, of course. The U.S. dictate is based on brute force, on fist law, sometimes beautifully wrapped, sometimes without any wrapper, but the essence is the same, fist law. Hence the deployment of and maintenance of hundreds of military bases in all corners of the world, the expansion of NATO, attempts to put together new military alliances such as AUKUS and the like. Active work is also underway to create a military political link between Washington, Seoul, Tokyo, all those states that possess or seek to possess genuine strategic sovereignty and are capable of challenging Western hegemony are automatically included in the category of enemies. It is on these principles that the U.S. and NATO military doctrines are built, requiring nothing less than total domination. The Western elites present their neocolonial plans in the same hypocritical way, even with the pretense of peacefulness. They talk about some kind of containment, and such a crafty word wanders from one strategy to another, but in fact means only one thing: undermining any sovereign centers of development. We have already heard about the containment of Russia, China, Iran. I believe that other countries of Asia, Latin America, Africa, the Middle East, as well as current partners and allies of the United States, are next in line. We know that whatever they don't like, they also impose sanctions against their allies. First against one bank, then against another, now against one company, now against another. This is the same practice and will expand. They target everyone, including our closest neighbors, the CIS countries. At the same time, the West is clearly and has long been wishful thinking, so starting a sanctions blitzkrieg against Russia, they believed that they would once again be able to build the whole world on their command. But as it turned out, such a rosy prospect excites far from anyone. Perhaps complete political masochists and admirers of other non-traditional forms of international relations. Most states refuse to salute and choose a reasonable path of cooperation with Russia. The West clearly did not expect such disobedience from them. They just got used to acting according to a template to take everything impudently, blackmail, bribery, intimidation, and convince themselves that these methods will work forever, as if they were ossified and frozen in the past. Such self-confidence is a direct product not only of the notorious concepts of one's own exclusivity, although this, of course, is simply surprising, but also of a real hunger for information in the West. They drown the truth in an ocean of myths, illusions, and fakes, using extremely aggressive propaganda, lying recklessly like Goebbels. The more incredible the lie, the faster they will believe in it. That's how they act, according to this principle. But people cannot be fed with printed dollars and euros. It is impossible to feed with these pieces of paper. It is impossible to heat a home with the virtual inflated capitalization of Western social networks. All this is important, what I'm talking about, but what was just said is no less important. You can't feed anyone with paper money. You need food, and you won't warm anyone with these inflated capitalizations. You need energy. Therefore, politicians in the same Europe have to convince their fellow citizens to eat less, wash less often, and dress warmer at home. Those who begin to ask fair questions, actually, why is that so, are immediately declared enemies, extremists, and radicals. They switch arrows to Russia. They say, here, they say, who is the source of all of your troubles? They lie again. What do I want to highlight in particular? There is every reason to believe that the Western elites are not going to look for constructive ways out of the global food and energy crisis, which arose through their fault, precisely through their fault, as a result of their many years of policy long before our special military operation in Ukraine and the Donbass. They do not intend to solve the problems of injustice and equality. There is a fear that they are ready to use other recipes that are familiar to them. And here it is worth recalling that the West emerged from the contradictions of the early 20th century to the First World War. The profits from World War II allowed the United States to finally overcome the consequences of the Great Depression and become the largest economy in the world, to impose on the planet the power of the dollar as a global reserve currency, and the overdue crisis of the 80s and in the 80s of the last century, the crisis also aggravated. The West largely overcame by appropriating the legacy and resources of the Soviet Union that was collapsing and collapsed in the end. It is a fact. Now, in order to extricate themselves from yet another tangle of contradictions, they need to break Russia and other states that choose the sovereign path of development at all costs in order to plunder other people's wealth even more at this expense, close and plug their own holes. If this does not happen, I do not rule out that they will try to completely bring the system to a collapse on which everything can be blamed, or, God forbid, they will decide to use the well-known formula, the war will write everything off. Russia understands its responsibility to the world community and will do everything to bring such hotheads to their senses. It is clear that the current neo-colonial model is ultimately doomed, but I repeat that her real owners will cling to her to the end. They simply have nothing to offer the world except for the preservation of the same system of robberies and racketeering. I think I'm going to take a break. I'm almost to the end, but yeah, I'm going to take a break. Be right back after these important messages. Okay, wrap this up and perhaps get on to some commentary. Okay, in fact, they spit on the natural right of billions of people, most of humanity, freedom and justice, to determine their own future on their own. Now they have completely moved on to a radical denial of moral norms, religion, and family. Let's answer some very simple questions for ourselves. I now want to return to what I said. I want to address all the citizens of the country, not only to those colleagues who are in the hall, to all the citizens of Russia. Do we want to have here in our country, in Russia, parent number one, number two, number three, instead of mom and dad? Have they gone made out there? Do we really want perversions that lead to degradation and extinction to be imposed on children in our schools from the primary grades, to be drummed into them that there are various supposed genders based besides women and men, and to be offered a sex change operation? Do we want all this for our country and our children? For us, all this is unacceptable. We have a different future, our own future. I repeat, the dictatorship of the Western elites is directed against all societies, including the people of the Western countries themselves. This is the challenge for everyone. Such a complete denial of man, the overthrow of faith and traditional values, the suppression of freedom, acquiring the features of a reverse religion, the opposite of what the religion is, outright Satanism. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus Christ, denouncing the false prophets, says, By their fruits you shall know them. And these poisonous fruits are already obvious to people not only in our country, in all countries, including many people in the West itself. The world has entered a period of revolutionary transformations. They are a fundamental nature. New development centers are being formed. They represent the majority of the world community, and are ready not only to declare their interests but also to protect them and see multipolarity as an opportunity to strengthen their sovereignty, which means to gain true freedom, a historical perspective, their right to independent, creative, original development, to harmonious process. All over the world, including in Europe and the United States, as I said, we have many like-minded people, and we see their support. A liberation anti-colonial movement against unipolar hegemony is already developing within the most diverse countries and societies. His subjectivity will only grow. It is this force that will determine the future geopolitical reality. Dear friends, today we are fighting for a just and free path. First of all, ourselves, for Russia, for despotism to remain forever in the past. Dictate. Okay. I am convinced that countries and peoples understand that a policy based on the exclusivity of anyone, on the suppression of other cultures and peoples, is inherently criminal, that we must turn this shameful page. The collapse of Western hegemony that has begun is irreversible, and I repeat again, it will not be the same as before. The battlefield to which fate and history have called us is the battlefield for our people, for great historical Russia. For a great historical Russia, for future generations, for our children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren, we must protect them from enslavement, from monstrous experiments that are aimed at crippling their minds and souls. Today we are fighting so that it would never occur to anyone that Russia, our people, our language, our culture can be taken and erased from history. Today, excuse me. Today, we need the consolidation of the entire society, and such cohesion can only be based on sovereignty, freedom, creation, and justice. Our values are humanity, mercy, and compassion, and I want to end my speech with the words of a true patriot, Ivan Alexandrovich Ilyin. Quote, if I consider Russia my motherland, then this means that I love Russian, contemplate and think, sing and speak Russian, that I believe in the spiritual strength of the Russian spirit. Russian people, sorry. His spirit is my spirit. His fate is my fate. His suffering is my grief. His flowering is my joy. Unquote. Behind these words is a great spiritual choice, which for more than 1,000 years of Russian statehood was followed by many generations of our ancestors. Today, we are making this choice. The citizens of the Donetsk and LPR, the regions have made this choice. They made the choice to be with their people, to be with the motherland, to live its destiny, to win together with it. Behind us is the truth. Behind us is Russia. Thunderous applause. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, dear listener. I hope you made it all the way through that with me. I think it is important. I think that many components of that speech, you could replace regions of the United States with Donetsk and Kherson and the other ones that begin with a Z, and think of Texas and Florida. I think you could replace the term Russia with the United States. And it would apply to us, that he's speaking very specifically, not to us, the United States, as a people, but about the people that lead us and govern us, the Western elites that by now, hopefully, the majority of people are aware of now. Things that you would have never considered that they would do to maintain their power over you, to be able to maintain their governing over you, to destroy your families and your businesses and your way of life, and impose COVID on you. That's what he's saying in this speech. Look at the way Russia dealt with COVID. It was reluctantly, and then they bucked it off as soon as they could. They explored the potential for fatalities, and they, like Florida, there was like, this is, Russia was akin to Texas. We shut down for a minute. We said, okay, this is bullshit. We opened back up and boom, we've been balls out ever since. And yes, people are still running around wearing masks and COVID protocol and waiting for our demise and everything. But those are the people that Rad Vlad was talking about. They're everywhere. We've been infiltrated by, and when I say we, wherever you are right now, the international audience of this podcast, wherever the fuck you are right now, you're being invaded, or you already have been invaded. These people are coming across borders. They're swimming across fucking bodies of water. They're growing up inside the country as a first generation, or they're converting. They're hooking up with, you know how this, man, these fucking liberal white women in college hook up with some dude and take off to wherever, and then post their horror story of their experience in some Middle Eastern shithole because they ran off with fucking Abdul because he was, you know, on some program, or his wealthy family funding his Stanford education. That kind of shit. All of that. How do you avoid it? How do you put an end to it? How do you prohibit it from ever happening again? You go back to just like what Putin was saying. Nationalism. What was the United States built on? First, God. And that was corrupted, but as a whole, the people, the Bible Belt, the main swath of the population of the United States of America, believes in a higher power. And it's not the ones that the West Coast and the East Coast, specifically up there in the New England, New York, Washington area, the Eastern Seaboard, all those motherfuckers worship Satan, period. That's the gist of all of this. And in order to throw this off, you have to fuck a world government, fuck a world culture, and having the, you know, an Alexandria in every state, where it's international commerce and globalism and the Western elite's decadence and degeneratism is fucking shoved down your fucking throat. And okay. It's not like that. Look at Afghanistan. Again, I didn't make this shit up. I didn't write it. But for 20 years, they progressively built up with their first female judge and their first female fighter pilot. And the women were running around with their faces exposed, going flying in the face of thousands of years of culture over there that has been maintained. But yet for 20 years, they got to experience fucking San Francisco or Portland right there in the middle of fucking Afghanistan, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then when Brandon and his regime bungled the withdrawal, within a week they were rounding up all the first openly gay whatevers. Those people were, unfortunately, however you want to look at it, being rounded up and thrown off of rooftops. And the first openly whatevers were covering their faces and begging for help to get the fuck out of the fucking country after they'd been, you know, highlighted on the page of some Western fucking magazine as being the first women fighter pilot. When the, you know, for some reason, I forget the name of those motherfuckers, the Taliban, when they were running around with all their $80 billion of new U.S. armaments, they were actively looking for that first female pilot to discharge her from fucking active duty. You know, I don't know whatever happened to her. But anyway, you know, I ranted out. But besides all that, years ago, I watched an Oliver Stone documentary on Putin and his rise and to power and how he's maintained it. And what he described in that speech, I hearken back to what he said in the documentary. And you can look at it however the fuck you want. It's Russian propaganda. But when a friend of mine said, hey, do you want to watch this with me? After we watched it, I turned to my buddy and I go, I'm not sure if I want to punch him in the mouth or go have a beer with him. And my buddy was like, I think I'd like to have a beer with him. So I thought, okay, I think I could have a beer with him and refrain from punching him in the mouth, because he seemed like a righteous dude, and he'd probably beat my ass if I tried to punch him in the mouth. He's ex-KGB. But yeah, that dude was a good patriotic Russian. Again, in case you haven't noticed, he's Caucasian, and he's also Orthodox Christian. Communist, I believe, is his political ideology, but that's the only difference between him and me, is he's a communist and I'm a capitalist. But it seems like he has a lot of capitalist values, and it seems like I have, you know, some communist tendencies, not, you know, at least socialist, not to the extreme that these motherfuckers want to take it. But yeah, you can't exist in the military for 5 years and not have, you know, some socialism adaptations. I understand the idea of, you know, like the Republic, you serve the Republic serves you. You go and become a legionnaire, they feed you, they house you, they give you work, and then when you're done, they give you a nice retirement, land and title. That's the way it should fucking be. Not just, hey, you're born here, here's land and title and free food and shit. You know, that's what undermines the Republic. So again, you know, where do you stand? I don't know. I you know, flopping around, whatever. But you look at the main drivers here: Caucasian, Orthodox Christian. That's the majority of Russia. You throw in the other religions, but for the most part, again, it's a country based on nationalism and God, and it's predominantly Caucasian. What's the United States? Exact same thing. What was Ireland? What was Italy? What was England? All these, you know, sorry, reaching out to you there. I've heard the stories from contractors about how they try and negotiate the streets of London. This is probably 10, 15 years ago, around these giant groups of young Middle Eastern men who weren't born there, who harass them and do it with impunity because they're protected by the very government. This guy carrying groceries, this contractor, he's paying the government to disrupt his way of life. That's the Western elite that Putin's talking about. If you're that person up in Portland, no matter how fucking loony and liberal you've been, and you've been cool with everything until finally there are people living on your fucking curb, you're paying the taxes, you're paying the school taxes and the water and the street repair and the mortgage insurance and all of that shit, and they're living in front of your fucking house, and your tax dollars that you pay go to them so that they can stay in front of your house. That's all by design. Because that's what they do to other regions like Palestine and Israel. Israel didn't exist until World War II. And then the next thing you know, they took land from Palestine. And, you know, now you see where that is. All the liberal elites fucking rally with Palestine against Israel, and all the conservative elites rally behind Israel. Yeah, you know, it's colonialization of an area. And again, I don't know where I stand, but that in and of itself, the creation of that nation state was supposed to be the fulfillment of biblical prophecy. It didn't happen by happen chance. So, yeah, anyway, gosh, man, you know, again, it's been so long, but there's so much going on. I just wanted to shovel this out to you because I've heard so much and so many opinions about this speech, and obviously everyone has their opinion of Vladimir Putin, but I firmly believe that he's a Russian patriot that drove out these demonic motherfuckers that have been running our country since, going back to what he said, the turn of the century at the World War I and the Industrial Revolution, where the robber barons just fucking started robbing the whole world. And the intimidation of nuclear weapons, you know, those two detonations on those two cities were followed by thousands of test detonations in the sky, on atolls in New Mexico, wherever the fuck you live. There's a tracker that I've put on various platforms where you could see all the thousands of fucking detonations combined across the world. They talk about global warming. Man, you know, if there's any global warming, if there's any effect on our climate or our atmosphere, it was done by the fucking world governments as they were testing nuclear fucking detonations. You know? So, anyway, yeah, just wanted to get that out to you so that maybe you could form something from that, your own opinion, your own idea. I'm not a Russia file. I admire Russian values when I see these dudes wrestling bears. You know, they seem like a Rush, you know, a determined people. I appreciate that. I know millions of them died in World War II to preserve their way of life over there, and they were tricked by both sides. Hitler fucked them over, and then we fucked them over on both ends of the war. But I guess I should wrap it up with this. The point is, again, they most resemble the United States. And as it's been mentioned before, Alex Jones brought it up. It's in the UN documents. You can find it for yourself through independent research. They firmly believe that the last two bastions of resistance to the New World Order will be the United States of America and Russia, because they are predominantly Caucasian and Christian.
It's outrageous. I don't care what your position is. It's outrageous. And it's dangerous.
Was that if you're a Phil Helene, be a lover of Helene culture, should be a lover of Greek culture. Alexander the Great's father, King Philip of Macedonia, was a Phil Helene. Brief side note, he's notorious for many things, one being the letter of warning he sent down to the Spartans when he was about to invade their land and put off a list of things that would happen to them and theirs if they didn't surrender to his rule, as he was trying to join all the Greek nation states. And the infamous Spartan response was, if.